Om Shanti. Om Shanti, everybody. And a very sweet evening. And also we can say a very healthy, wealthy evening. Because today we have with us Dr. Nikhil Patel, who is presently giving his services as a consultant neuropsychiatrist in Global Hospital and Research Center, Mount Abu, since 1993. And he has done MD Psychiatry in 1990-91 with honors from GMC Surat. And he is in Baba's knowledge since childhood. Dr. Patel is a Life Fellow of Indian Psychiatric Society, and he is also Life Member of Neurological Society of India. He is presently doing research on effect of Rajyoga meditation, and he has already done effect of Rajyoga meditation on drug abuse and neurotic illness. He has actively participated and organized very well health awareness campaigns, national and international conferences and other activities which were organized by the medical wing of Brahma Kumaris. He has also conducted educative lectures for students, doctors, engineers, educationists, executives and other professionals on stress management. And today he is with us on the topic, Health is Wealth. So let us empower ourselves on this beautiful topic, Health is Wealth, Dr. Nikhil Patel.
Om Shanti. Good evening. As I can see, this is a wonderful gathering of the family from different corners of the world. The Russian family, the Thai family, the Portuguese family, European family, an American family. A few from America, right? How many of you are from America? All of you are aware of the fact that we have been fortunate enough to inherit different kinds of wealth. If you start enumerating the complete list of different types of wealth, it's a very huge list, right? In all the types of wealth that we are aware of, right from our thoughts to words, to our gross resources, time, health is also one of the important types of wealth, isn't it? And as has been said, wealth should always be accumulated, especially in the era of recession and economic slowdown. We should try to accumulate wealth. We should try to accumulate different kinds of savings in order to be of use during the times of emergency or crisis. So if we have accumulated the wealth of health, it gives you rewards in times of emergencies or when you are in extreme conditions. As has been said, health starts from the self. They say, heal thyself, right? You should heal yourself first. You should be healthy enough to take care of your own health in order to heal others. And health is divided into different three or four types of health. It's not just a physical health that we all have. We have mental health, we have social health, and we have spiritual health. It starts with spiritual health. Even if the body is sick, but the spirit is healthy, the soul is healthy, and jnana and yoga, we can very quickly and instantly settle the karmic accounts of the physical body. Right? But if the state of being or the mind or the spirit is unhealthy, is uneasy, is stressed out, burnt out, we probably do not enjoy the complete health. And so all four kinds of health are important. I'm not going to talk to you about spiritual health. I presume and I wish that all of you are completely spiritually healthy in terms of jnana and yoga, dharana and seva. So I'm not giving you a hardcore, in-depth class on spiritual health. Since I am a neuropsychiatrist in this birth by Laukic profession, I'll give you some tips how to keep oneself mentally healthy in order to face stress and strain, in order to face maya in a better form. How many of you have never experienced maya or stress? See, the word maya is so joyous. It gives instant pleasure. And everybody is smiling. And I'm asking you a serious question, and you all are smiling. So what is it all about, that maya, stress? And how are you going to conquer that? Are there any guidelines how to keep oneself mentally healthy, completely healthy all the time? How many of you have come for the first time? Can you please raise your hands? About 10, 12. How many of you have come and stayed in Gyan Sarovar and listened to my class in the past? One or two? All right. Three or four, maybe, yeah. So I'm not going to remind you the class that I gave you 2 years back or the 3 years back about health. I have given you the class on holistic health and mental health and things like that. I would be very happy to have few questions from your side. And then, you know, Dadi Janki is also fond of answering to the questions. And I am also fond of the answering to the questions that you may have. Otherwise, you know, it becomes a one-way traffic. I like two-way traffic. So if you have few questions, and if you can ask those questions or pose this question for the benefit of the whole family, then I can start giving you a little more deliberations on the topic, on the subject, regarding neuropsychiatric health or psychological health or spiritual health. And if you don't have any questions, I will start posing you the questions. So either be prepared to give answers or be prepared to throw questions. Yes, please. Can you please give the mic to this sister? Cordless mic. I'm inviting questions, so it would be nice if you give the cordless mic, brother. Brother Mike, are you there upstairs? Brother Mike, who gives mic, you know, to all. Okay, you can ask the question. I'll repeat it for the benefit of the family. Yeah. Yes, it's a very good question. You know, smoking has been widely prevalent. It's on the decline now, especially in the educated societies. But still there are some people who are chain smokers and they are unable to quit smoking. I'm sure you must be having few students in your centers who are willing to quit smoking, but they are unable to quit smoking, right? You must have seen or encountered this kind of people in your centers. How to get rid of smoking? Now, all kind of addictions are considered to be different psychiatric illnesses, including smoking. Nicotine is basically the substance of nicotine, which is very addictive. And amongst all addictive substances, nicotine or tobacco is one of the most addictive substances, which is difficult to quit. It has been researched that about 80 to 90% of people get addicted to nicotine smoking if they start smoking. There are different other kinds of cancer-causing chemicals which the person also inhales or smokes along with smoking cigarettes. And they are not addictive, but they are definitely very, very harmful to the body, which can cause cancer. Cancer of the mouth, larynx, pharynx, esophagus. 40% of the cancers are caused by tobacco smoking or tobacco chewing. And how to get rid of it is most important. Many of the people who have underlying stress or long-term stress or stress-related illnesses, rather than seeking appropriate healthy advice from the doctor or the psychiatrist, they usually start self-medicating themselves with in the form of smoking or alcohol and things like that. And then they become hooked onto it. And when they become addicted to it, for a pretty long time, then they are unable to quit it. The first and foremost aspect of quitting is motivation. If the person himself is very well motivated to quit it, the research shows that he will be able to quit smoking, of course, with the help of treatment. Now, there are different kinds of treatment that is available, right from counseling to psychotherapy to behavior therapy to aversion to even treating the withdrawal symptoms, detoxification of the withdrawal symptoms during the withdrawal phase. Anybody who is hooked onto any substance, addictive substance, when he quits it suddenly, he starts developing withdrawal symptoms. And that happens with nicotine also. And these withdrawal symptoms remain for about 4 to 6 weeks, sometimes up to 8 weeks. The craving, the desire, intense desire for craving remains for about 6 to 8 weeks. And there are a few very efficacious medicines which are available these days, which can treat this kind of withdrawal symptoms. And eventually, person has no craving after 2 months of time. So number one, self-motivation or motivation by the friends or family members, that is also very equally important and equally efficacious. So if you have a person who is self-motivated, who is very well motivated by the friends and relatives, is the one who is very likely to be successful in quitting smoking. This is number one. Number two, he should consult his family physician or a family psychiatrist, if there is available in the local city. He should go and seek appropriate professional help. If required, along with a psychiatrist, a clinical psychologist who can give sessions of counseling and psychotherapy. And yes, there are few people or there are some people who require medication for 2 to 3 months' time to quit nicotine. And that tablet, that medication has to be given under supervision by a psychiatrist with measurement of blood pressure, pulse, etc., etc. And eventually, after 2 to 3 months' time, the medicine, all medicines are stopped, and the person becomes smoking free completely. But it is also very important, if the person abstains from nicotine for 2 to 3 months' time, there are certain triggers, unhealthy triggers or unhealthy lifestyle, which the person has to avoid. Bad company, peer pressure, the same, you know, tamopradhan atmosphere that people have a tendency to smoke during parties, right, in the laukik life. Avoiding the friends who still smoke. Avoiding the stressful situations where stress triggers the desire for smoking. Stress management, in other words, healthy lifestyle, healthy diet, regular exercise, meditation, yoga, Raja Yoga meditation. Baba's meditation has been very, very useful in overcoming nicotine dependence smoking. How many of you were smoking before you came into Gyan? See? And did you take any treatment to quit smoking? No? So, spiritual lifestyle, healthy lifestyle, including meditation, Raja Yoga meditation, also has a very healthy, positive effect to get rid of nicotine smoking. So these are different kinds of, you know, therapeutic modalities which are available to get rid of smoking. And it's not just smoking, but all addictive substances are harmful. Right from marijuana, cannabis, cocaine, alcohol. There are few sponsored research studies which says that red wine or grape wine is healthy for heart. Please don't take those sponsored research study by its face value. They are all misleading. None of the medical textbooks ever mentions that alcohol is good for health and it can be prescribed to the people. None of our medical textbooks has ever mentioned that alcohol is beneficial, even in small amount. There are few people who ask about alcohol. Why can't I take one peg of, you know, red wine or the grape wine or things like that? It's very healthy. Even few doctors also recommend it. There are few, you know, misguided doctors also who unfortunately tell the patients, okay, no problem, go ahead. You can have one or two pegs of alcohol, but that's absolutely incorrect and unhealthy. Alcohol in any amount is detrimental to health, right from your head to the toes. It affects all the organs. The only medicinal use of alcohol is as a solvent in the cough syrup that you get. The cough syrup has some medicines which are dissolved in alcohol. But only when you have cough, it is useful. If you don't have cough and you start drinking that, if you start drinking alcohol as a normal routine diet without having cough and cold, it is harmful. And so is true with onion and garlic. There are some people who ask, you know, garlic is very useful in reducing cholesterol. So why don't you eat it every day? If you have normal cholesterol and if you go on eating garlic, what will happen? They never answer you that. Right? So beware of all these addictive substances. And Baba always says, don't go for this kind of addictive substances, right? So we are all healthy children. We follow healthy lifestyle. We follow Baba Srimad. And we enjoy good health. Right? Although mental health and spiritual health are very intimately related, but both are different. Mental health sometimes also reflects your neurological health, the status of your brain. I just give you one example. If someone gets a tumor in the brain, he can be depressed, he can have headaches, he can have vomiting. Unless it is being tested, investigated by the doctors, unless he or she undergoes tests, including scanning and things like that, it is not diagnosed. So, there are many, many conditions like migraines and hemorrhages and hematomas where there are blood collections in the brain. There are different kinds of epilepsies, minor epilepsies and major epilepsies, which can cause different kinds of psychiatric illnesses. It can cause depression, it can cause anxiety. Since I cannot go into the depth of it, many of you, how many of you are doctors, by the way, or nurses? 4. Good. Good, very good. So I'm not giving you a lecture in the medical college. This is Baba's spiritual college. So I'm just going to touch upon few important basic points about health. Right? Any other question that you may have? Yes. Yes, please. Somebody would translate for you. Russian. So who can translate? Anybody? Yeah, sister, you can translate? Okay, she's coming. Just be there, be there. She's coming. Come. So the Russian sisters have... Yes, yes. Yes, I got it. And what is the question? Yes, I got your question. So... Okay. Yes, yes, yes. Sorry? Right. Very important question. The sister is asking a very pertinent question. In the era of internet and computers, there is an information overload. People are exposed to information, knowledge, news, entertainment in abundance. And sometimes the children especially, who are tech savvy, computer savvy, have more information than you have. But sometimes in the era of computers and the internet, in the name of information, there are some websites which disseminate misinformation rather than information. And so we, the doctors, tell the patients that it is half knowledge, half truth. Never take the information on the net, on the internet, by its face value. It can be misleading. It can be misguiding. Websites cannot replace a doctor. Simple. If a website can treat and cure your illnesses, then there is no need of a doctor. There is no need of a medical college, for that matter. But that is not the truth. And unfortunately, the children get misguided by internet use. Now, what is the way out? The websites which has org, or websites that has a domain of edu, these are the reliable scientific websites. And the information or knowledge which is there on those kinds of websites is authentic, can be relied upon, can be trusted. But the information that you get from those kind of websites has to be verified from your family physician, from your family doctor. Sometimes what happens, a person goes to the website on mental health and starts reading the symptoms of obsessive compulsive disorder. I'm giving an example. And he starts thinking, oh, I have all these kind of symptoms. And there is a self-diagnosis. I might be having obsessive compulsive disorder. Now, self-diagnosis and self-medication or self-treatment are all very, very dangerous. What happens if you gather any information which you feel that it may be true? Before you start believing in it, discuss with your family doctor. I give you one example. The classical example of the non-vegetarian diet being healthier than the vegetarian diet. This kind of an information or misinformation has been going on for many years. Since when the slaughter homes got established, especially in the Western countries, the meat industry started, the fully automated meat industry, wherein you have a queue of all cattle going into the slaughter homes one by one, and you have the fully automatic plant which produces, manufactures the boxes of meat and mutton and pork and things like that. And there were few sponsored research then carried out by the meat industry that non-veg diet is very, very healthy. It reduces illnesses. It has a lot of proteins. It gives you a lot of energy. It gives you longevity. It gives you longer lifespan. All those meats which were carried out over the years, over the decades, have been proven to be wrong. Do you know that? We the doctors know there are some sponsored research carried out by this kind of meat industry which has done more harm to the humanity, more harm to the health of humanity than doing good for the humanity. So, what I'm saying is any misinformation in terms of internet, computers, and sponsored research studies, which sometimes, you know, get published or get attention of the media, and the media also highlight this kind of information, are mostly misleading. So it's always good to discuss any such information with your family doctor before you accept it, before you start believing in it. Okay? The non-veg diet, for example, because I know we have a sister, namely Dr. Hansa Rawal, who is a colonel in American Army, who is a Brahma Kumari for the last 40 years, who knows, who used to give classes in Madhuban 20 years back, 30 years back, having a very long study comparing the non-veg diet with the veg diet in American Army for pretty long years, 20 to 30 years. And the results of those studies were all in favor of the vegetarian diet. The vegetarian diet was far, far, far more superior and healthier than the non-veg diet. Unfortunately, that research study has been suppressed, and still it is under the carpet. It is not being published. It is not being allowed to publish. If it is being allowed to get published, the meat industry would be up and against the political parties of America. I'm just giving you information because you are a family, Baba's family. I can share with you, right? This is the information which she has shared. She is a colonel because she herself has served in the army, and she is still in the army, and she runs a center in Texas, in USA. So, you should be aware of the fact that whatever Baba says, day in and day out, in the form of Murli and different classes, right from vegetarianism to meditation to exercise to all different small aspects of our Srimad. Because Baba is truth, right? Baba is truth. He cannot tell a lie, can he? And we all know about it. We all have experience about it, right? All right. Any other question? Yes, brother. What is the harm of garlic? Herb. Source of health. You know, just recently, the brother is asking about the harm of garlic. Just recently, there is a very huge study which has come out, studying the different kinds of herbs, herbal medicines in America, in United States of America. The Food and Drug Administration has come out with the results of the beneficial or healthy effect of the herbal medicines. And they have come out with a very, very scary finding. Most of the herbs are unhealthy, on the contrary, detrimental to health. Most of the herbs and herbal medicines are harmful to the body. If you take garlic, for example, there are many, many substances which have medicinal value. But if that medicine is used as a food, as diet every day, it can be detrimental. Whether it is garlic or onion or alcohol or any medicine for that matter. Even if garlic has a medicinal property, it reduces cholesterol to some extent. But if you have normal cholesterol and if you eat garlic every day, what will happen? I'm repeating what I said just before 10 minutes. So, if you have ever experienced eating garlic or onion, have you eaten up before onion and garlic? Since childhood, I'm fortunate that I didn't like it. And in my family, my mother used to go to the ashram, to the center. So she never prepared a food with onion and garlic. But I have observed and experienced myself. If by mistake during childhood, if I ate onion and garlic, or if anybody of you who eats onion and garlic, and find the difference, there is a pungent odor, smell, bad smell that comes out of your body. And if you start sweating, especially when you are eating onion and garlic, it is so, so pungent and so very false smelling. I have seen people who are eating onion and garlic. As soon as I enter into my room in my clinic, and if they are sweating, I can straight away diagnose that they are eating onion and garlic. It's so bad, false smelling. Now that's the effect of onion and garlic. And if you feel that it's a good medicine, now there are so many good medicines for that matter, but you don't eat medicines as food every day, do we? We don't. Let us presume that it has a medicinal value, it is beneficial, reducing cholesterol. But if I have normal cholesterol, why should I eat garlic? Simple, right? Yes, any other question? Yes, sister. Can anybody translate? Or you can translate, right? Good. Sister is asking about different psychiatric illnesses, psychological illnesses, and how to cure them, how to heal them. What are the ways and means to cure them? How many of you are aware of the fact that there are about 600 to 700 different neuropsychiatric illnesses? And if you include pure neurological illnesses, along with psychiatric and neuropsychiatric illnesses, the list becomes 1,500. If you just take pure psychiatric illnesses, they are around 500, 600. And there are different kinds of illnesses, very severe illnesses, in which we call it psychotic illnesses. You must have heard the names of schizophrenia, schizoaffective disorder, in which person loses contact with reality. His behavior, his mood, his thinking is completely bizarre, completely strange. He doesn't do anything, he doesn't work, he doesn't have good relations with the family members, the friends. He is unable to look after himself or herself. So this kind of severe psychotic illnesses, schizophrenia, schizoaffective disorder, it requires medicines. It requires professional expert treatment from a psychiatrist. The diagnosis has to be confirmed. It has to be diagnosed appropriately. If the diagnosis is appropriate, then the treatment can be appropriate. And antipsychotic drugs, very good new drugs are available these days which can cure schizophrenia. There are 5-6 different kinds of schizophrenia. Four of them are almost curable with the help of medication, antipsychotic medication, support, family support, psychotherapy, counseling, education, psychoeducation. Bipolar disorder, again, is a mood disorder, which is a very severe disorder in which there are fluctuations of mood and the mood can be very extreme. Patient can be very, very excited, very euphoric, very aggressive, exalted, and that mood can be offending for others. And the person is very, very fast in thinking, very pacey. He tries to achieve or do the things, too many things within a short period of time. He is racing, in other words. And this kind of maniac mood or manic episode, together with sometimes depressed mood, which lasts for a few weeks. So manic and depressive episode intermittently goes on in this kind of patients of bipolar disorder. Again, it's a very severe mood disorder. It requires medicines. It requires mood stabilizer medicines. Very good, new, safe drugs are available, which normalizes the mood and the person becomes normal, productive, and he enjoys normal life. This kind of severe psychiatric illnesses are about 3-4% in the society across different nations. Rest other illnesses, which are neurotic illnesses, less severe illnesses, like anxiety disorders, depression, obsessive compulsive disorder, phobias, hysteria, conversion disorder, mixed anxiety depressive disorder. These are all terminologies, different terminologies for neurotic illnesses. And they are about 10% to 30% or even 40%. It varies from nation to nation. And these are the illnesses which are not that severe, which can be treated, cured very fast, with medication, with certain lifestyle changes, behavior therapy, meditation, yoga, relaxation, healthy food habits, moderate exercise. But it also requires appropriate diagnosis and appropriate treatment from the professional, psychiatrist, and if need be, clinical psychologist. And there are certain minor, very minor emotional problems that include sleep disorders, personality disorders, you know. There are 10 to 11 different kinds of abnormal personalities. How many of you have ever thought or ever come across a brother or a sister at the center who does not go along well with the rest of the family? Everybody has a hard time to adjust to that person. You have to adjust to that person rather than he or she gets adjusted to other family members. If you find this kind of brothers or sisters in your family, in your center, these might have abnormal personalities. For example, I give an example. There is a personality disorder we call paranoid personality. He or she is always suspicious, always carries some different whims, you know. Oh, people are after me, they are watching me, they are harassing me. Nobody harasses, you know, everybody loves everybody else. But he or she carries those kind of, you know, feelings. So he's always suspicious, watchful, doubting. And then he or she has difficulty adjusting with other people. Similarly, there is one personality disorder which is known as narcissistic personality disorder. Person is egoistic. His self-esteem is higher than what is required. It goes into the domain of ego. The self-esteem is healthy. Everybody should have self-respect and self-esteem. But that self-esteem or self-respect becomes inflated. It becomes ego. And that ego, egoistic personality, we call it narcissistic personality. He is the boss. He is everything. You know, he knows everything. And nobody else knows nothing, you know. So everybody else is inferior to him or her. And he or she has superiority complex. So that's an egoistic personality, which is also known as narcissistic personality. Now everybody has difficulty adjusting to that person because he's not down to earth. His self-esteem is too high, you know. So that is known as narcissistic personality. So there are different kinds of 10, 11 different kinds of abnormal personalities. And these are all other minor psychological issues. And psychiatrists have to have something. They need a job, right? They need to do something, right? How are the psychiatrists going to survive if they don't get patients, right? The doctors have to survive, the doctors have to have patients, right? Whether they have the physical illnesses or the psychiatric illnesses. The sister is asking about patients of bipolar disorder, are they encouraged to do Amritvela meditation? If bipolar disorder patients are taking appropriate treatment, medication from a psychiatrist, and they are enjoying normal mood, they don't have ups and downs in the form of mania and depression, they are pretty stable, steady, yes, why not? They can do Amritvela. What is important for everybody or a normal individual or a patient of bipolar disorder is to have sufficient amount of sound sleep. Bipolar disorder patients during the phase of mania have a reduced need of sleep. And if they go into depression, they have complete insomnia or they have hypersomnia. They sleep too much. The average requirement of sleep for any individual is about 8 hours. So if you sleep for 8 hours in your bed, why not? If you go to bed early and you wake up early, Amritvela is allowed, no problem. But there are some people who go to bed, who go to sleep very late night, and they wake up at Amritvela. There are a few Baba's children also, which is not healthy. Why? They go to bed late at night by 11, 12 and they wake up at 3, 3.30, 4 o'clock. So their amount of sleep is just 5 hours or 4 hours. So what happens? If you don't
have 7 to 8 hours of minimum 7 hours of sleep. If you don't have 7 to 8 hours of sleep in bed at night time, and if you wake up early during Amrit Vela, the remaining deficit of your sleep is fulfilled by dozing off in the class. You must have seen many brothers and sisters dozing off, paying namaz as they pay namaz in the mosque. Very sweet, very, very health, you know, soothing, soft dozing off. And they finish the quota of their requirement of sleep. How many of you are sleeping right now in the class? Please raise your hand. If you are raising your hand, that means you are alert, you are awake. That means you have slept enough previous night. Or you have slept very well during afternoon. The ones who are sleeping should be on the back side. Why don't you come front? Brothers, sisters, come closer. Are you away from the family? Come close. Come. Otherwise, I will presume that you are sleeping. You are dozing. So, bipolar patients are allowed, very well allowed, to do Amrit Vela, provided they have 7 to 8 hours of sleep. The average requirement of sleep for adults is 8 hours. For senior citizens, the requirement of sleep reduces. For the children, the requirement of sleep is higher than 8 hours. If children, say for example, a 5-year-old kid doesn't sleep for 9 to 10 hours, if he sleeps less than 10 hours, then he can be hyperactive. He can be fidgety. He can be a nuisance for parents. So the children under the age of 12, 10 require more than 8 hours of sleep. And if they don't finish the quota of 9, 10 hours of sleep, then they don't enjoy normal mood. They are either anxious, they are irritable, they are hyperactive, they are fidgety, and it is difficult for the parents to handle this kind of children. So sleep is very important for every individual. Yes, brother. Yes, I know it's a universal problem. Parents don't go to sleep in time and they advise children to go to bed in time. How can it happen? When the parents are watching television, they are chatting with each other or they are fighting with each other. Who knows? In the Lockett families, right? The children imitate. The children follow the parents, right? Parents don't go to sleep and they advise the children to go to bed in time. Kid, go to your bedroom. Just lay and lie down, sleep down. Sleep, you know, just they order. There are some parents who have a tendency to order the children. And then the poor child, cannot sleep because there's a lot of noise in the house, the television is on, the parents are chatting with each other. It is recommended, you know, in the healthy homes, in order to go to bed in time, the level of sound should be minimum or zero. The intensity of light should be minimum or zero. And there should be a natural environment for the child to go to bed, to fall asleep. Unfortunately, these days, in the advent of pop and rock music, this doesn't happen in the households, in the Laukic world. If you have the Brahmin family members, if everybody is a Brahmin in the family, fine, no problem. But if you have the half who are the Brahmins and half who are the semi-Brahmins or non-Brahmins, then yes, I can understand it happens. I hope you have all the Brahmins in your family. Dadaji? Yeah? Dadaji, who has asked? Is there anybody, a child in your family? Son? How old is he? 45? Oh, big child. He's a big son. Huh? Is he in a Gyan? No, he's not in a Gyan. So he has got a big child. So now, as a Brahmin, it is your duty to make him learn Baba's knowledge and make him Brahmin so that he knows the importance of going to bed in time, go to bed in time early without watching television and pop and rock music. Right? Yeah, I know it's very difficult to adjust to the non-Brahmins in the family. Yes, yes. Any other question? Yes, sister. Who is a narcissistic? Now, it happens not with just narcissistic personality. It can happen with any other abnormal personality. It's very difficult to adjust to, right? And you should learn some tricks how to get along with this kind of people, right? I hope there is nobody in your family or in your center who is narcissistic. Is there? See, everybody has a reasonable amount of ego. Ego, in psychological terms, is equated with self-esteem or self-respect in spiritual terms. What Surya Bhai says about self-respect is a normal ego in psychology. Id, ego and superego, if you have heard these kind of words, which Sigmund Freud used to say. But if somebody is too egoistic or narcissistic, as you said, then of course it is very difficult to adjust to that kind of a person. How would you adjust to him or her who commands you, who orders you, who feels he or she is the boss and you have to surrender to him or follow what he says or she says? If he or she says good, something good for you, something good for the center, then of course you should follow it. But if he or she says something bad, offending, which can have bad consequences, negative results, failure, in other words, then you should not follow what he or she says. Simple. And keep a reasonable distance from him or her so that your self-esteem doesn't go down because of his high self-esteem. You know, all illnesses are infectious. All abnormal personalities are infectious. If you have a pleasant personality, a normal personality in your center, again it's infectious in positive way. But if you have an abnormal personality, it's infectious, contagious in negative terms. So keep a reasonable distance from that particular soul. Okay? And give him or her positive sakash and vibrations. Eventually, everybody has to be a normal, right? Everybody has to be complete. And we hope and wish that the person, the soul, becomes normal sooner than later. Right? So give some positive vibrations when you are sitting in Gyan server, and when you return back to your center, hopefully he or she should be a normal personality rather than a narcissistic personality. Right? Alright, we can take a last question, then we can have meditation. It's going to be 7 o'clock. Last question, who has not asked? The sister who has not asked. Yes, please. Yes, you know, I can understand. The sister is asking a question, if people are abnormal, selfish, crazy, how to keep harmony with this kind of people? It's very difficult, right? the way the world that we live in. Where do you find selfless, pure love in the world? Nowhere. Yes. Yes, I am talking about ourselves. Yes. How do we keep ourselves safe from this kind of selfish people, abnormal people, right? That's what you are asking. Or how do we get along? How do we keep harmony with this kind of people? Oh, okay. The sister is asking the other way around. She is asking a question, if I am selfish, if I am the cause of all the problems, if I am at fault, if I am stressed out, I am depressed, what should I do? What should I do? I should try to find help from appropriate persons. If you cannot cure your selfish or abnormal thinking with the help of Jnana and Yoga, despite your best efforts, then you should go to your family doctor. You should go to your family psychiatrist, simple, and get it sorted out. There are few very common physical, medical illnesses which can cause depression. Low hemoglobin, anemia, can cause depression. You are depressed and you feel that you are a problem for others, but you may not be at fault. It may be your hemoglobin which is low. So try to rectify, correct your hemoglobin. Go to your family doctor, go to your family physician, and take some appropriate medicines to raise your level of hemoglobin. Simple. Similarly, there are a few other illnesses like hypothyroidism. Those who have low high thyroid hormone can also go into depression. Vitamin deficiency, vitamin B complex. Vitamins are vital. And vitamin B complex deficiency can also cause depression, anxiety. So it's better to keep a watch on your health, physical health, mental health. Since all types of health are very closely, intimately related with each other, the brother wants to ask a question, right, brother? Is the brother has a very, very, very unique question. Brother had, by the way, can I say that you were my patient? Okay, the brother is very open that he had come to me for consultation. I am not going to disclose your diagnosis, but as you said, you had low hemoglobin, and he went to his doctor, family doctor, and he said to raise your hemoglobin, start taking non-veg food. Strange, brother. The green leafy vegetables, the fruits, are rich sources of iron. It increases hemoglobin. The green leafy vegetables, the brinjals, beetroot, all different kinds of small green leafy vegetables, they are a very rich source of iron. Apple, for that matter, dates, for that matter, there is a big list of high iron vegetarian items which you can choose from in order to raise your hemoglobin. You need not be non-vegetarian in order to raise your hemoglobin. If that was the advice given by your family doctor, I would doubt about his credentials, honestly. Or he might be non-vegetarian and he doesn't know the other sources, rich sources of iron, the vegetarian sources of iron. Okay, So, I hope and wish, yes, last, very last. Yes, the sister is asking another question which is very, very pertinent, especially when you are in Madhuban and Gyan Sarovar. How about sleeping in the afternoon? How about having a nap in the afternoon? Very, very important. If you don't sleep in the afternoon in your respective country because you have a job during daytime, then I would not advise you to have a nap in the afternoon in Madhuban. Follow a daily routine which you can continue for a long time in your respective country. But if you have a break in your city, in your country, in the afternoon, wherein you can sleep for 1 or 1.5 hours, then maintain that habit of having a nap in the afternoon, even in Gyan Sarovar, or even when you stay in Madhuban. But it is very important to sleep enough, whether at a stretch at night time, 7 to 8 hours, or in parts. You can sleep 5 hours at night time, and rest 2 hours, you can sleep in the afternoon. But if you maintain this kind of a daily routine continuously, that routine should continue even when you return back to your respective country. Because you have a job during daytime, you cannot sleep there. Right? So make a daily routine which is a long term, which you cannot change over time. Right? Otherwise, it is very healthy to sleep in the afternoon, especially for the Brahmins who sleep early at night time, wake up during Amrit Vela. We in Madhuban have a pleasure to sleep in the afternoon. But we also have a pleasure to sleep early at night time and wake up for Amrit Vela. But we ensure that we have the enough required quota of sleep, 7 to 8 hours. Right? I would not advise those brothers and sisters who have a job during daytime and they don't have a break in the afternoon to start having a nap in the afternoon in Gyan Sarovar. I would advise those brothers and sisters instead to go to bed early at 8:30 and wake up at Amrit Vela, and then continuously remain awake during the whole day, even in Madhuban. Okay? Alright. Now we go into Baba's lap for some minutes, right? I hope you all are healthy in terms of physical health and mental health and social health and spiritual health. You all are smiling. Yeah. Who is not smiling? See, everybody is smiling. So I'm also very happy to look at your smiling faces and hope that you retain and increase your wealth of health. Not just in Gyan Sarovar, but when you return back to your countries, you accumulate more health. You accumulate more wealth. Alright? Take care to take good care of yours. See you again. Om Shanti.